Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Hey guys, it's Candace.
And it's Elena.
And you're listening to Cousins on Crime. Hello.
Hey.
Hump day.
I told Hazel last week, I was like, it's hump day. And she said, what does that mean? And I explained it. And for all you grocers out there,
yeah,
it just,
calm down.
It's just the middle of the week, okay? It's the hump of the week. And I told her to tell her teacher happy hump day.
Okay.
She didn't do it.
Oh, she forgot or she was too embarrassed?
Yeah, I don't know. She told me she didn't do it. So,
oh, well, next week.
Anyway,
there's always next week.
There's always next week.
Maybe.
Or this week.
Maybe, because we're not promised tomorrow. So,
oh, thank you for that.
I'm just trying to be real.
Yeah, no.
Yeah. So, okay. What have you,
I need a drink.
What have you gotten yourself into this week?
Okay. So, before you got here, I was outside pruning my garden.
Okay.
No, Lena. Be mature.
I'm sorry.
I was trimming my rose bush. Okay, that.
Listen, I'm too tired for this.
Okay, guys. Write us in your funny stories. And subscribe.
Yeah. All the above.
Yeah. If you like our show and you're listening right now, tell a friend or
tell them, listen, they chat just a little too much at the beginning.
Fast forward the beginning.
Yeah.
And listen to the rest. They mean well.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you could say that. They mean well. But yeah, if you haven't rated us yet, why? Is what I'm asking.
It's a very good question.
Just pause the show and go give us a review.
Yeah, it takes 2 seconds.
They're great. You could just simply say they're great or they talk a lot, but they mean well. That's a review I could get behind.
Right, right. Thank you for your honesty.
Anyways, all right, let's get to the program. So the story I have for you today is, it's interesting because usually I'll dig into a case and I kind of feel the same way all the way through when I'm researching, kind of. You know, you work your way through the story.
Mm-hmm.
This time was a little bit different because I expected to just work my way through the case and the story, but I ended up educating myself on so much more than just our victim.
Okay.
And how this thing happens to people all the time.
Hmm.
So let's get into it. It was a typical Wednesday afternoon at the Maple Hills Veterinarian Hospital in Allentown, Pennsylvania. It was coming up noon on March 16th, 2011, and the staff who weren't helping furry and feathered, hopefully not scaly patients, were probably talking amongst themselves about what they were going to do for lunch. Jennifer Snyder wasn't sticking around, though. She told her coworker and roommate Hillary that she was going to meet her boyfriend for lunch. So Jennifer's boyfriend of 3 years, David Rappaport, ring a bell? Heard the name? Okay. I'd never heard of this story. Okay, so David Rappaport, he was a veterinarian who up until recently had worked at the office where Jennifer worked. So Jennifer told Hillary, he's got a surprise for me. I don't know what it is. And Hillary took Jennifer's hands and she said, just don't go.
Oh.
She didn't know what the surprise was, but Hillary didn't like David. She didn't trust him.
Oh.
But Jen, She loved David, and she was excited about their future together, no matter what and who opposed their relationship.
It's like one of those friends who, like, you don't have a good feeling about the person and you just kind of support them anyways. But no, she was the one that was like, listen, I don't have a good feeling. Just don't go. And I appreciate that about her.
Yeah. Jennifer said, well, I'll see you later. And she grabbed her things and she walked out the front door. The next morning, no one could get a hold of Jennifer. Not her roommate, not her mom. Her aunts even tried calling her. Nobody could get her. No one had heard from her since the day before. And they were really worried because Jennifer had a really important doctor's appointment that day that she didn't show up for either.
Oh, no.
And with all of that, her loved ones reported her missing. Now, let me tell you about Jennifer. She was very, very special. Jennifer Lindsay Snyder was born June 23rd, 1983, in Lehighton, Pennsylvania. Yeah. Am I saying that right? I don't know. Why does it have to be so complicated? her parents, Patty and Terry Snyder. She was the firstborn, and she was very much a big sister to her little siblings. Growing up, Jennifer was very close to her dad, which is why Jennifer's life turned upside down when her dad left the family when she was just 13 years old.
Oh.
Yeah. Those early teen years are so sacred for a young girl. And she needed her dad during that time.
Yeah.
But luckily, instead of going the other way, Jennifer rose to the occasion. She clung to the family that did stick around in her life. She leaned on her mom and her sister and grew really close to her mom's sisters, her aunts, which became more like her sisters. You know, she found an independence about herself, and maybe that provided some direction in her life.
Right.
She was a well-behaved kid. She was home when she was supposed to be. She was doing her homework when she was supposed to be. She was you.
Oh,
she was you, Elena, right? So she loved animals, and maybe her family had a little bit to do with that, because I don't mean she grew up with like a lot of pets, but Jen's mom was an office manager at a vet clinic at one point.
Okay.
Jen's aunt was a vet tech and a groomer, and she was married to a veterinarian.
Oh.
And her other aunt had a dog grooming business. So you see what I mean? It was like
it's the all thing in the family.
Yeah, it was all in the family. It was just in the blood. And Jen knew what she wanted to do when she got out of high school. She wanted to work with animals too, so she became a vet tech.
Love it.
So Jen's mom told the documentary Finding Jen's Voice that Jen rescued a horse that was about to be put down.
Mm.
Her mom said he was about to go to the glue factory.
Oh.
And she...
Oh, no.
Jen developed this amazing bond with her. And I gotta say, I know just enough about horses that taking on a horse that nobody else wants, I mean, they can be very, very difficult to
tame
and develop a relationship with. But this horse loved Jen. Her name was Margie.
Sweet.
Jen didn't care. She didn't want to see that horse go away. And she also rescued a dog off the streets after Hurricane Katrina. She named him Arthur.
Oh.
And in the documentary, Arthur is sitting with Jen's mom, and you can just tell how protective he is of her.
Oh, like, wow.
Just very protective. I imagine someone who's an animal lover just wants to take every single animal. Like,
oh yeah,
I'm not an animal lover, but when I drive by a dog that's on the side of the road, it does something to me.
Right.
My cold heart. it hits me in places I didn't know I had. You know?
Yeah.
So I imagine, like, but where do you draw the line?
Exactly.
You know, so
you have a zoo here.
I have a daycare zoo. That's right. But Jen was like, you know what? I get to be a vet tech and I get to see all different kinds of animals every single day.
Yeah.
So I don't need to be just collecting all these animals. So for now, that was going to have to do. Jen lived in Lower Macungie Township. Why? Pennsylvania. Whoa. What is going on with the names? There's so many townships. I don't understand. anyway.
Okay.
That's where she lived. And there was just one last thing I need to tell you about Jen. She was almost 3 months pregnant.
Oh.
Yes, with her first child. And that doctor's appointment that she missed, that was for an ultrasound.
Oh.
And she would have never missed that.
Oh, absolutely not.
Never. So knowing this, police were very concerned that no one could find her. No one could reach her. And they considered her missing and endangered. They grew even more concerned when they found Jen's car parked behind a commercial shopping area. And when I say behind, I mean, like, it's not a place that customers park. It's a place behind the strip center, you know, where,
like, you could drive behind it, but it's not like.
Right. Exactly.
Okay.
But it wasn't the location of Jen's car that was alarming. It was the state of her car that caught someone's attention.
Do tell.
So for starters, one of the windows was shattered.
Okay.
I've heard reports that it was a side window. Some say it's a back window. But when they looked inside, they saw blood and they saw a bullet casing.
No.
Finally, when they poked their head inside to get a better look, it just reeked of bleach.
Oh, so someone tried to clean.
Yeah, but didn't. We'll get into that.
Mm-hmm.
So police went up to the animal hospital to ask her coworkers. You know, they had already spoken with her family. They were in shambles because they were like, if her car's abandoned, and I'm not sure if they told them what, how they found the car, like in the car. Probably not.
Yeah. But also I wonder, did her parent or her family know that she was pregnant? Like,
yes.
I'd be calling all the hospitals thinking maybe she went there, but obviously if they find her car, they know that's.
Yeah. So her family was really worried. So they were like, well, let's go up to her place of employment, see if anybody else knows. Did she park it there? Was, you know, she known to be in that area? But as soon as her friend Hillary heard the police talking about Jen's car, she felt a heat wave race through her body. Hillary told them about the last conversation that she had with Jen the day before, and that was the last time she, you know, saw Jen, and she was going to meet her boyfriend the day before for lunch.
That's got to be gut-wrenching.
Yeah. Hillary had a bad feeling.
Yeah.
A bad feeling that David killed Jen. And she said as much to the authorities. Mm. She said, I bet he did something to her. And, you know, they're taken aback because.
Like, why just jump to the.
Exactly.
To that,
like,
conclusion.
Right out of the gate, she's like, he did something to her. They weren't sure, but they learned more about David. He was a veterinarian, like I said. He had worked with Jen and Hillary. On paper, this guy was solid. David Rappaport was 30. He was well-educated. He had his bachelor's degree in Spanish and biology before attending veterinary school at the University of Pennsylvania in 2008. His classmates said that he was studious and focused, not interested in, you know, going about the social events and such. A fellow vet that graduated with David and had worked with him often for a number of years said he was quiet. He did his work. He went home.
Hmm.
He was unremarkable. After he left Maple Hills Vet Hospital for reasons that we'll get into, he began working at Harleysville Veterinarian Hospital in the area. It sounds like a stand-up dude, right?
Right. So what triggered Hillary to have this feeling is what I want to know.
Well, I left something out about him too.
Okay.
David was married.
Oh, for the love.
Yeah. He and his wife, Elizabeth Rappaport, lived in Upper Gwynedd Township. I don't know where that is, but that sounds highfalutin. They lived with their two dogs, and they'd been together since middle school.
Oh.
Yeah. Elizabeth was very outgoing and also well-educated, and she worked as a seventh grade teacher at a local middle school. Elizabeth would come up to the practice and bring David lunch, and everyone just thought they were cute because she would come up and she would make cupcakes and bring the staff cupcakes, and You know, she was just involved. She was present.
Yeah. So it's not like nobody knew about her.
Oh, right. Yeah. And so there came a point where she stopped coming up there.
Oh.
And people noticed she hasn't been up here in a while. And David began telling the people that would ask him about it that he was getting a divorce.
Okay.
And because David was the strong, silent type, you know, everyone would just give their condolences and be like, oh, I'm so sorry about that. That sucks. And then not say much else.
Mm-hmm, right.
But it soon became obvious that David's affections were already concentrated elsewhere.
Mm.
After David became a full-time vet at the animal hospital where Jen worked, Jen and David developed a close relationship. I think we all have worked places where we become friends with the people we work with. It's just you spend so much time with these people.
Right.
Now, with Jen, people saw a side of him they really didn't expect. Jen and David would like recite movie quotes.
Okay.
And goof around, and people just didn't expect him to have a humorous side and
be so goofy.
Yeah, she kind of brought him out of his shell. But I do think the staff thought it was a bit premature that he might be moving on so fast.
Oh, okay, yeah.
Considering he had just told people he was getting a divorce. But they were just happy to see him kind of loosen up.
Okay.
Maybe this was really who he was and he was going to be happy, you know?
Yeah.
Like a new turning point for him. Jennifer took David to her sister's wedding, where they were finally, you know, everyone was finally able to see this guy that she'd been talking about for a long time. It seemed like every other family function, he was either busy or out of town. You know, Thanksgiving and Christmas, he was working or doing something, and he didn't come to any of the family events, but he did attend the sister's wedding. Everybody remembered him being really quiet, not really saying much, but they knew he was married.
Oh.
Yeah. At some point, they found that out. She may have told them he was getting a divorce or whatever.
Right.
So in the back of their mind, they were a little bit concerned that he hadn't gotten divorced yet at that point.
Right. What's the holdup?
Yeah. Because they were fully dating. Like, he was at her sister's wedding, for crying out loud. Pictures being taken and everything. Probably social media posts. I don't know.
Yeah, maybe.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. For years, Chumba's been setting the bar for online social casino fun, and it just keeps getting better with new games released every week and daily bonuses to collect. The fun never stops. So claim your welcome bonus now at chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21 plus.
Hey, it's Ryan Seacrest here, and I have discovered a fun new escape from the daily grind, Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has hundreds of social casino-style games and it's all free to play anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. So get to chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21 plus.
2011. We had social media back then, right?
MySpace? No. I don't know. Oh, honestly, man. I don't know where we're at.
So for Jen, though, you know, she was a grown woman. And she was free to make her own decisions. And I'm sure she was, I'm sure she knew that this was a sticky situation. But I believe she full well believed the things that he was telling her.
Oh,
that
yeah.
He was going to leave his wife, But after 3 years of this nonsense.
3 years?
3 years.
Okay.
She dated him. While he was married.
So where was the wife?
She was
still living in the house?
Yes.
Oh, no.
Mm-hmm. Now, I believe at this point, there came a point where she was so in love with David that she had settled into a sort of acceptance that he wanted his cake and he wanted to eat it too with a scoop of ice cream.
Mm-hmm.
And when she got to that point, I think it was too late for her. There would be no amount of reasoning through conversations with those that were closest to her for Jen to end things with David.
Oh, man.
And David would say things like, you know, when I leave my wife, we'll get married, we'll start a family, or I just need to get my finances sorted before I file for divorce. He was so manipulative.
Mm-hmm.
These are just some of the things that trickled through Jen to her family that he was saying.
Oh.
Lord knows the rest of it.
Right.
So he manipulated her to stay for all of that time, her believing that, oh, it's going to happen this next month, or they need to wait 7 months until their taxes are done.
Oh.
You know, just little things that he would lie about. And she believed him. She believed all of it. She loved him. But what was David saying to his wife?
Yeah, that's what I'm wondering.
Yeah. Because he would work. He would go home. Or he would go home late after being with Jen, and or he would be out with Jen, and then he'd go home to his wife.
And so in those 3 years, his wife still never came back up there to like bring things to him to the clinic.
Well, she didn't bring cupcakes, if that's
right.
She brought fisticuffs. So let me tell you.
Okay.
Eventually, Elizabeth had worked this out. Okay. I don't know at what point. I don't know if it was the 1 year mark, if it was the 6 month mark.
Mm.
I don't know at what point he was dating someone else that she had worked out her husband was cheating on her.
Mm-hmm.
But she wasn't stupid. It's unclear when the following events happened, because this relationship, like I said, carried on for years. But one day Elizabeth came up to the practice and told the front attendant that she wanted to speak with Jennifer.
Oh,
and Jennifer and David were in his office talking, and he came out of his office and like grabbed Elizabeth and like rushed her down the hall to a different room. And he was very aggressive with her. And Hillary, Jen's roommate and friend and coworker, was sitting there, and just she could not believe the look on his face.
Mm.
She just had never seen him like that. You know, this quiet guy who occasionally would joke around with Jen. And then suddenly he's got these eyes of fury.
Oh my gosh.
And he's yanking his wife down the hall.
Oh no. Yeah, yeah. That would throw some red flags.
He suddenly just boiled over, and she was like, whoa. Then another time, Elizabeth Rappaport sees David leaving their neighborhood around 2 a.m.
Oh.
With another woman in his car.
Okay.
How? What? Why is he
at 2 o'clock in the morning?
Yeah.
There's no reason
so
for
at
that.
This point, David told Elizabeth that he had ended things with Jennifer. And here's the thing. With someone like this, who's very manipulative.
Right.
He's telling his wife, you know, I'm so sorry. I ended things with her. And then they're trying to heal for this protracted period of time. And then, you know, he's over here playing the same fiddle on the other side of the fence. So Elizabeth followed them.
Okay. Good on you, girl.
As would I.
Absolutely.
Oh, Elizabeth. So she followed them to this parking lot. He parked at a Wise Market, where she proceeded to lay into him.
Oh.
I don't know if he was in or out of the car, but she starts hitting him.
Oh, whoa.
A few times. And then she turns her sights on Jen, and she grabbed Jen's arm, and they both fell to the ground. There wasn't an actual fist fight or anything like that. Elizabeth did end up getting cited for harassment.
Oh.
Pour salt in the wound, why don't you?
Yeah.
They would have arrested me, so.
Yeah.
But it sounds pretty mild, I would say, the interactions that she had with Jen.
Mm-hmm.
And she was hurt, and she was very angry.
Right, because she knows that Jen knows that she's there.
Right, and Jen is being told one thing as well, like, oh, I thought you guys were living apart, or I thought you guys were this or that. So in January of 2011, when Jen found out she was pregnant, I'm sure there was a moment of, oh, crap.
Mm-hmm.
But that didn't last long. She was really excited.
Aww.
That, you know, that same spirit that loved to care for animals, she could not wait to be a mother. She really wanted a life with David. And, you know, they had talked about marriage and starting a family. So now maybe she thought, maybe this will move us in that direction.
Yeah.
So Jen was sitting there with her roommate in late January, and she called up David to tell him that she was pregnant.
Ooh.
And she said, well, I just wanted to let you know you're going to be a dad. Half expecting him to be happy and also like, what's he going to say?
Right.
Hillary could hear David screaming on the other end of the line that she better get rid of it.
Of course.
He said, this baby isn't going to be born. Take care of it. And that's when Jennifer got up and left the room and went to the bathroom.
Oh, no.
She was in tears. And Hillary, probably with her ear to the bathroom door, could hear Jen sticking up for herself. And Jen was saying, look, if you don't want to be a part of this child's life, you know, that's fine. I'm a grown woman. I don't need you. I've got my family.
Yeah.
I'll make it work. I don't even need to put your name on the birth certificate.
Right.
Like, you don't have to be involved. But she was keeping the baby and she wanted to be this baby's mother.
Good for you, girl.
So David pulled back from their relationship for a couple weeks. He didn't call her. And by now he was working somewhere else, so she didn't even have to see him.
Good.
In passing. And Jen had time to herself to process. She was going to be doing this alone.
Mm, yeah.
And again, just like when her dad left, she rose from the ashes. She announced her pregnancy on Facebook on March 4th, 2011. She was so excited to share the due date with her friends. Her family was excited. I think they had all gone through the discussion of, you know, David doesn't want this child and blah, blah, blah.
How are you going to do this? And yeah.
And everyone just got to the point where they were like, so what?
Yeah.
This is a blessing. We're excited. We're going to do this.
Yeah. We're a village. Yeah. You have a village.
Exactly. And they were even talking about her baby shower. Like, what are we going to do? The theme, the colors. So Jen's roommate, Hillary, had explained to police that things weren't great between Jen and David during this time. That is until he suddenly called her up one night saying he changed his mind.
Mm.
A couple weeks before she went missing, he came over to their place and they started talking about their future. Suddenly, Jen was like, she just didn't expect it. She had come to terms, mm-hmm. you know, she had really come to terms that this was not going to happen with him. But now that he's changed his mind, she was excited. She was so excited that
there's a future of a family.
Yeah. So that's why Hillary didn't have a good feeling about when Jen was going to meet David for lunch and spend that night with him. Jen thought that maybe the surprise was that he was going to go to the ultrasound with her the next day.
Oh, okay.
So since David's name was the only one in everyone's mouth, authorities went to his home on March 17th with plans. Now, the 17th was the day after she went missing. And I imagine in some investigations, police just roll up and hope, you know, that they're going to talk to this person. But not this time. Mm. They knew they're going to find something. They're not leaving there without something.
Okay, come on with it.
They hadn't found Jen. So David denied having had recent contact. Mind you, Elizabeth is standing in the doorway.
Oh.
Probably with her elbow propped up on the doorway.
Yeah, let me hear this.
Why are the police here and why are they asking about Jen?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And I know they're not here for me. Okay.
Girl.
So David said, no, you know, I haven't talked to her recently. And his wife's like, of course you have. Of course you have.
She told on him.
And so they wanted to look inside David's car.
Mm.
And he said, before I let you look in there, can you leave, Elizabeth? He asked his wife to leave.
Oh.
And she said, oh, hell no. She said, no.
Absolutely not.
She said, I want to see what's in there.
Yeah.
Okay.
I'd like to know.
So she's standing there with her arms folded, I'm sure. And they lifted up the trunk. And there was a 9mm handgun with ammunition. There was blood. There were baby wipes and duct tape. And the police asked David, can you please come down to the station? We want to talk to you. And he said, no, I want a lawyer. I would have said that before the trunk, but that's just me.
Yeah. I mean, at that point, does he get a choice to go down to the station or not?
Well, they didn't arrest him.
In his trunk? I'm confused.
So I'm surprised they didn't arrest him right then and there. But, you know, they hadn't found Jen. And so maybe they felt like they didn't have enough to hold him. You know, they had enough maybe to arrest him, but not keep him in prison.
Sure.
Or okay. Keep him in jail. You know what I mean? And it's unclear how exactly the search for Jen led authorities to the local nature preserve. I saw reports that there was helicopters being used to search for her, so maybe that's how they ended up there.
Oh my gosh.
But on Friday morning, this would have been the day after her ultrasound, they found Jennifer's body off Game Preserve Road. Her body was wrapped in black trash bags, which was then sealed with duct tape.
Oh my gosh.
Now, due to a casing found in her car, they weren't exactly surprised to see that she had been shot multiple times.
Right.
In fact, they found another shell casing not too far from her body, just off the road. I bet this period of time, you know, finding Jen and arresting David was like 0 to 60 for these detectives. You know, yeah. You know, we just kind of saw this in the Athena Strand trial, where there is this period of time where they know who they're looking for.
Yeah.
They're pretty sure what he did and they're going to go get him, but they just need these other little pieces and they're trying to get it,
yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And so I imagine they're just going 90 miles an hour. Police learned that the gun that was found in David's car was a new purchase, and he had gone to target practice the morning of Jen's murder.
Don't they know that never looks good? I mean, but people like this just don't think they're going to get caught, I guess.
And then he goes and buys bleach. He bought duct tape and, ironically, baby wipes.
Oh, gosh.
Which, explain the reasoning there.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah, that does not make sense.
Anyway, so he went and buys all that before he meets up with Jen. And then he proceeds to try to clean her car with all of that stuff.
Preparation, we right. see. Okay.
And there wasn't any mention of any cell phone records in this case. That's not to say they didn't go for it and, you know, go through the process to get them for trial, because they probably did. But this case unfolded so quickly. I mean, she was missing and then she was found and yeah. then they got him. And so I don't think there was really time to get for that to factor into it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But they did have CCTV. I love CCTV for this reason, because if you are timely about it,
yeah,
if you get to it in time, you can just see the video for what it is right then and
absolutely.
There.
Absolutely.
In most cases. Something else they could work out pretty quickly was matching the bullets to his gun. So the casings, the bullets from Jen's body matched his gun. I did see one report stating that the gun was found in a dumpster, because he had dumped a bunch of stuff in a dumpster, like the bleach and all that stuff. But most reporting said it was found in his trunk.
That he showed the police.
Yeah,
yeah.
So I don't know which is true, but
they got it.
They got it.
Yeah.
One way or the other. Jennifer's autopsy was performed by Lee County Coroner Scott Grimm. Yes, that's his name.
Interesting.
And I think if you're born with that name, you just must be a coroner.
Yeah.
Like, that's just your, what do they call it? What did they call it? Predestination.
Oh, yeah. Predestined. Yeah. Predestined. I know of a foot specialist. The last name is, well, they're Dr. Achilles.
No.
Yeah.
You must.
You have to.
Oh, my gosh. That's great. Well, the coroner revealed that Jennifer was shot through the mouth.
Oh, my gosh.
And then twice more in the back while her body was outside of the car.
Oh, my gosh.
When Hillary, Jen's roommate, learned about this, she said that she initially thought that maybe Jen had a premonition about her death. She recalled an eerie conversation that they had a few weeks before Jen's murder. They were talking about death. They were just talking about death. And Jen said, I can't imagine if you had a gun in your mouth.
Oh.
If you had a gun put in your mouth and you realized that you were never going to see your loved ones again.
Oh, my.
It was a shocking coincidence.
Right.
Wasn't it? I mean, but the more
That's
Hillary.
So haunting.
I know. The more Hillary thought about it, though. She later came to believe that maybe it was something worse than a premonition. Maybe Jennifer was threatened. Did David threaten her? Did he threaten to put a gun in her mouth if she didn't in that pregnancy?
Oh, yeah. I could see that happening. With the kind of character that he is, I could definitely see him saying that.
Yeah. But it was also confirmed at her autopsy that she was pregnant 10 to 12 weeks with a healthy baby boy.
Oh.
Now, building out Jim's timeline, you know, thanks to Hillary, they had a good place to start for putting it all together. Jen left the animal hospital around noon, went straight to meet David at Sam's Bagels for lunch. CCTV confirmed Jen and Dave meeting there. Dave, as if we're friends. Ew. Ew, David. And David meeting at this bagel shop. They had lunch, and then they left the parking lot in Jen's car with David behind the wheel.
Okay.
David drove them to Trexler Nature Preserve near Allentown, where he likely said, I don't know, he could have said a multitude of things. He'd been lying to her for 3 years. He could have said, let's go walk around. Let's talk about the baby. Let's talk about baby names. Anything to get her to drive to a nature preserve. Yeah, exactly. I believe he'd convince her to go to the moon.
Yeah.
So he pulled off Game Preserve Road, pulled out his gun, stuck it in Jen's mouth, shot her before dragging her out of the car and shooting her twice more in the back.
Oh my gosh.
He wrapped her body in an eagle's blanket, which he then saturated with bleach and covered her body with trash bags. He sealed it up with duct tape. Then he dumped her body in the woods near a ravine so that no one would find her. David drove Jen's car away from the scene, dumping evidence along the way. You know, the bleach bottle, the blood-soaked baby wipes, and some of Jen's OB paperwork.
Okay.
Some of it was left in her car and some of it was thrown away.
Ugh.
So CCTV caught David parking her car.
Mm-hmm. Sorry about you, dude.
Yeah. Behind the shopping area and walking away. Now, he ended up walking back to his car, which was still parked at the bagel shop. It was about a mile away.
Oh.
So he needed to park close enough to where he could walk, but not too close where they'd find her car.
Yeah.
So David gets in his car and he drove home, you know, to his wife.
Like nothing happened.
Wonder what that night was like.
Yeah.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. The rush of racing? Nothing beats it. But Chumba Casino comes close. Chumba's got fast spins, fun games, daily bonuses, and all the action you can handle. Now that's a ride. Ready to hit the throttle? Get in the driver's seat and head to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Wonder what that was like in the Rappaport household.
Is Elizabeth gonna...
Jen's out there all alone in the woods and he's going home to his wife. Did they have dinner together? Like,
that's what I
want to know.
Yeah.
So Jen and her baby boy were laid to rest March 24th in Palmerton. While Jen's family was in agony over their loss, families and neighbors of the Rappaports were confused, to say the least.
Mm-hmm.
They knew Elizabeth and David had their problems. They knew they were on and off again, you know. They were trying to make things work, then they broke up, and then they were this and that. But they were stunned to learn what David had done.
Yeah.
A childhood friend of David said that David was never a troublemaker as a kid. He followed rules to a T, and he couldn't believe that David would have done something so irrational. But it just goes to show you that ticking time bombs are among us.
Oh, yeah.
So David Rappaport was arrested not too long after her body was found outside his mommy and daddy's house. Because that's where he was staying. Because I guess murder's just a step too far for his wife.
Yeah.
She's like, okay, that's it. That's enough.
Yeah. We can't be together anymore.
Right. So he pleaded not guilty.
Of course he did.
Not guilty. At his arraignment the following month in June. According to reporting by a news outlet called DMV 360, David's defense attorney had ordered psychological evaluations soon after his arrest, which led some to believe that they were, you know, headed for an insanity defense. Right.
Oh, come on.
I mean, listen, when you're establishing a new relationship mm-hmm. with a client, you probably want to check them out. They just murdered somebody.
Oh, well, yeah.
Probably want to get them checked out.
Yeah.
So I think it was a standard thing. But I think people were making it like, oh, he had snapped.
Double personalities trying right. to live two different lives.
Something like that.
Yeah.
David told the court at his first hearing that he couldn't believe what he had done. A bad thing. And he apologized to Jennifer's family. But there was no emotion behind it.
So was he charged with double homicide because of the baby, or do you know that?
Yes, he was.
Okay. Am I jumping too far?
Yes, you are.
Okay.
Lena, this isn't like farting in church, okay? This isn't like, oh my gosh, I cannot believe I just did that. You murdered someone, yeah. My dude. What?
Yeah.
Don't say, oh, I really can't believe I just did that.
Well, he
Sorry.
Lived a double life for so long that it's like he just thought he could get away with it. He got away with all this other stuff. Why wouldn't he get away with that?
Yes. His trial was set for September of that year. But as these things go, it was pushed to February of the following year. Just more time for him to sit and time out and think about what he had done.
Okay.
District Attorney James Martin brought charges of criminal homicide and criminal homicide of an unborn child.
Thank you.
And they announced that they were seeking the death penalty.
Ooh.
Come on, Pennsylvania. Y'all are going crazy over there.
I know.
So David had been living these two lives. The only way to fix the problem that he had created for himself was to kill his pregnant girlfriend. To him, it really was that cut and dry.
Mm-hmm.
He made his plans, and at no point did he stop. He bought a gun.
Mm-hmm.
He went and practiced with that gun. He met Jen. They ate lunch.
Mm-hmm.
At no point did he say, I'm not going to do this. This is crazy. He drove her out there.
Mm-hmm. He could have turned around at any point.
And listen, because of the timeline of things, it all happened pretty quickly.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he didn't waste any time driving out there, killing her, dumping her body, and getting back
mm-hmm.
to what he was doing.
Right.
Because of the timestamps on him dumping her car.
Gotcha.
So he, at no point,
so
said,
it's like, get her, get it done,
get it
get
done,
out of here.
Dispose, the end.
It was planned.
Idiot.
Yeah.
So many loose ends, but
yeah, I'd say
there were plenty of opportunities that he could have stopped and said, there could be some other way. This is crazy. I can't do this. This would ruin my life. But he didn't. So David wised up and he pleaded guilty to two counts of first degree murder on December 8th, 2011, to avoid trial and the death penalty, you know, is so oftentimes in death penalty cases, they'll exchange a plea deal for taking the death penalty off the table.
Yeah.
And he waived his rights to an appeal in capital cases. We see this a lot. But in December 2012, so the following year, David filed pro se for Post-Conviction Relief Act appeal, claiming that he never verbally agreed to waive his rights to an appeal. He's like,
okay.
Simon didn't say.
So, but he signed. He had
signed
to have
it.
Signed.
Yes.
Isn't that the same right. as
it,
your word?
Yeah. So a hearing was held at which time a judge denied the appeal.
Well, duh.
He was like, please, I've got a tea time at 4:00 and this is a waste of my time.
Golly.
David appealed that and took it to the Supreme Court. But the Supreme Court looked at the transcripts from the day he signed the waiver. And he was asked, okay, you signed this. Do you understand what you've signed and do you have any questions? He verbally confirmed that he understood what he signed and he did not have any questions.
There you go.
He didn't present any other evidence to show I didn't agree to that.
Right.
There was nothing he could say. So
nice try, bud.
Yeah. He was denied again and his conviction was upheld. So he's not getting out ever. Jennifer's aunt Trina called a friend, Tracy Schott, who just so happened to be a filmmaker, and she asked her if she would do a project on her niece that had just been murdered.
Oh.
Tracy was, of course, heartbroken for her friend, but she was stunned to learn that homicide was the leading cause of death for pregnant women.
Oh.
And she knew she needed to tell this story. I've linked this documentary in the show notes. It's about an hour or so, hour and a half maybe. It's called Finding Jen's Voice. Now, when I was pregnant and I went to prenatal classes, this was brought up, like the leading cause of death in pregnant women is domestic violence.
I had no idea. Wow.
At the time, I was like, weird, because I mean, you're carrying like so much more blood than you normally do. There's so many things that can go wrong. And you just don't expect that the leading cause of death in a pregnant woman wouldn't be complications.
To the pregnancy, right.
To the pregnancy, to the birth, whatever.
Yeah.
And it was shocking to me. And I just kind of, as I went through the story, I was like, wow. So Dr. Linda Burke Galloway, author of A Smart Mother's Guide to a Better Pregnancy, was interviewed for this documentary. Having worked as an OBGYN for many years, she noticed risks that pregnant women faced. And she's not talking about the health risks. She's talking about the domestic violence.
Oh. She had this intuition.
Exactly. Okay. So she could see the partner's interactions. Oh, yeah. And, you know, she sees them every, you know, however
building
long.
A relationship, yeah, with exactly. All of them. Yeah.
She said after the first ultrasound, it's like the most dangerous time for the woman, because the partner it's no longer a positive pregnancy test. It's no longer, oh, she's pregnant. Mm-hmm. And it's just a idea. It's a image. It is a heartbeat. It is a human growing, and it becomes so real, and they're like, oh my gosh, this is really happening.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense.
And it really just turns things up a notch. So Dr. Burke shared her five red flags that she sees in homicides, and here they are. It's really these five things taken together.
Okay.
You know, some of these things individually might be true for a lot of people. So the partner isn't happy about the pregnancy. The partner wants to terminate the pregnancy. The partner is married.
Mm.
The partner has been abusive before the pregnancy. And the partner is very controlling. Those are the five red flags to look for. In 2013, Investigation Discovery aired an episode of Deadly Desires about Jennifer's case. I didn't watch that episode, but I learned about the episode from the documentary. The show painted Jennifer as the instigator of the relationship.
What?
Yeah. And her family took great exception to that. It's so easy to blame the other woman.
Yeah.
I mean, it's so easy to go, what a homewrecker.
Sure.
I mean, that loaded word is meant for one thing and one thing only, and it's meant for the other woman.
Right.
But it's this chronic manipulation mm-hmm. for extended periods of time that condition women to believe that it's all going to work out for them in the end. I just got to get through this.
Yeah.
You know, we can make it work.
He'll be divorced in however long. Yeah.
And which is why it's so important to Jennifer's family that she have a voice in this. She's not this other woman.
Yeah.
She was a daughter. She was a sister, a niece, and she was a mother to that baby. The documentary does a great job of showing that these types of relationships happen all the time. Other women appeared in this documentary and bravely shared their stories of domestic violence around their pregnancy. One woman explained that she was a secret girlfriend in a relationship and she compromised her morals so much during that time that by the end of it, she had kind of forgotten what her morals were.
Oh, no.
So it happens. People get into it for different reasons. Maybe some women know they're the other woman, but Jen truly believed he was getting a divorce.
Yeah.
And at some point, she knew she was the other woman.
Right. After three years of it.
Exactly. She knew he wasn't leaving his wife and she just excused it because she loved him.
Yeah.
And she hoped that maybe his mind would change someday.
It helps to hear other people's experiences, like that woman that said she forgot what her morals were. I mean, I guess you do get swept up in this idea of what you can have with someone, or you have this connection and you just don't want to let it go. I mean,
yes. And I've been in a very manipulative relationship before.
Yeah.
And I'm told one thing behind closed doors, and then he's telling his family and friends other things, like, we're broken up, I don't see her, I don't talk to her. Yet
here you are.
We're full on in a relationship, seeing each other, you know?
Right.
And at some point you start to question your own sanity. Like, what? Like, okay, am I seriously okay?
Right.
Because someone's manipulated you down so far that you don't know up and down or side to side.
That's really sad.
Yeah. And I can't imagine what Jen must have been going through when she found out she was pregnant.
Yeah. The roller coaster.
After 3 years mm-hmm. with someone, I'm sure she thought, okay, this probably seals the deal. You know, we've talked about this. We've talked about starting a family.
Yeah.
It's just so sad. She was a savior to animals. She had a beautiful heart. And her corner of the world just isn't the same since she was murdered. Her family will never be the same. They were planning to welcome a new life into the world, not plan for a funeral.
Right.
Ugh. But I really enjoyed that documentary because it's so true. The title of the documentary, Finding Jen's Voice, is such a perfect fit because you gather all these other women and you say, look, she's not the other woman. This happens. This is a thing. This is the leading cause of death for pregnant women is homicide.
Yeah.
It's crazy. We just don't think of it that way.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, you said it at the beginning, like, this happens more than we realize. To more people than we realize. There needs to be more people like Jen. I mean, she loved her family. She loved animals. And that proves a sweet soul.
Yeah.
I mean, she was looking for the love of her life and a stable life and a stable relationship. But unfortunately, she was conned. And that's really
sad.
She
was taken for a ride.
Yeah.
Oh. Hey, it's Ryan Seacrest here, and I have discovered a fun new escape from the daily grind, Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has hundreds of social casino-style games as all free to play anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. So get to chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21+.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at chumbacasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs 21+. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
And I wonder, like, if she hadn't have told Hillary, because I got a sense in the documentary that there was some friction between Hillary and Jen during that time.
Okay.
I've actually had a friend who I knew she was making bad decisions. And that ruined our friendship because she just didn't care. She was self-destructing. She didn't care. Not to say that Jen was doing that, but I think for Hillary, she was frustrated. She felt frustrated that Jen was ruining her life. And when the pregnancy came about, she was really worried for her. And so I think before Jen, they had recently reconciled and patched things up. Mm. But I think Jen was so brave to tell Hillary, I'm going to meet David for lunch. Right. You know, like, because you're telling the last person on earth who wants to hear that you're with right. this guy still.
Right. And I said it earlier and I'll say it again. I really commend Hillary for being that friend. Like, so many times we just yeah. support our friends, and like, even though we don't feel like it's a good thing for them, we're like, oh, okay, you know, mm-hmm. be happy. But when you really have that gut feeling, you really should
yeah.
speak up to your friends. If you love it, I talk about this a lot. If you love someone, you're going to tell them the truth. Mm-hmm. If you truly love someone, it's not like you're just going to let them self-destruct.
Right.
The truth is going to hurt sometimes.
Yeah.
And it may ruin that friendship. And if it does, at least you tried.
Yeah. That kind of goes along with, if you love someone, let them go. Because yeah. it's like, let them go make their own decisions. But I just wondered, like, what if Jennifer had hid that from Hillary?
Yeah.
No one would have known where she went.
Right.
It would have taken longer to find her.
Yeah.
You know?
Right.
Because I'm a freak like this. My mind goes to, so many things could have happened if she hadn't have told her friend.
Right.
If she hadn't been brave and said, look, I'm going to meet David. Don't freak out.
Yeah.
But I'm excited. He's got a surprise for me. And he had a surprise for her.
Yeah.
Oh, he did have a surprise for her. What a sick freak.
Yeah.
I have a surprise for you.
No.
Sick freak.
Yeah. Well, thank God he can't hurt anybody else. I mean.
That's right.
He's where he needs to be.
What a waste. What yeah. a waste.
For what? Just so that for you can what? Have your cake and eat it too.
But he didn't get no cake at the end.
No, he did not.
He's eaten slop in prison.
Ramen noodles.
I hope not even that. That's too good for him. Well, that's all I have.
Oh.
I really encourage you to go watch that documentary. It was very insightful for me. I did not expect to learn so much.
Yeah.
And like I said, it's linked in the show notes.
Well, thank you for telling her story. I mean, she sounds amazing. And I'm sorry for her family who lost a beautiful angel.
Yeah.
So fly high, Jen.
Yeah.
Well, that was great. Let's do it again sometime.
Let's do it.
Bye.
Bye, guys.
Thanks for listening to Cousins on Crime. If you're enjoying the show, please rate and review wherever you listen, and consider joining our Patreon for bonus episodes every month.
Follow us on Instagram and Facebook for case photos and to stay up to date with the latest C-on-C news. If you have a case suggestion or just want to tell us how cool we are, email us at cousinsoncrime@gmail.com. After David became a full-time vet at the animal hospital where Jen worked, Jen and What's wrong with me?
Squeeze your brain.
And these investigators were busy every second. Every... What? My sentence says they were busy every second on that time. What was going on? What was going on in my head? Anyways.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. For years, Chumba's been setting the bar for online social casino fun, and it just keeps getting better. With new games released every week and daily bonuses to collect, the fun never stops. So claim your welcome bonus now at chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21+.